It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Argyle is over, but here in Pusher Recaps Theater, we are just getting started. My name is Grace, but of course, I'm not alone. I'm here with my fellow spy. It's Ariel. Ariel, how you doing?
Meow.
I'm good.
You're the cat. You're actually the cat?
I'm a cat. And even though I'm allergic, I turned into a cat just for this podcast.
Oh. Alfie.
Here I am.
Yeah. Well, Argyle is a thing that happens, Ariel. The greater the spy, the bigger the lie, Ariel.
Bigger the lie, as they will not allow us to forget. They just kept repeating that damn line the whole movie.
Argyle won the box office this mm-hmm. past weekend. So the biggest movie in America and Canada, I presume.
But simultaneously, Forbes.com also called it the first film flop of 2024. Do you know what? $18 million, yeah. Which, yeah, you know, against a $200 million budget, allegedly, as the article says, it's not a lot.
Do you know what the second biggest box office number was this past weekend?
All the guest appearances by Scarlett Johansson.
No, it was for a TV show called The Chosen, season 4, episodes 1 to 3.
Yes, I've seen this in my movie app, like, that I scroll past. No shade, where I'm like, oh, that's cool that they made that for people that want that. I don't want that.
This is a Jesus movie. Is this a
It's about, my understanding, my very limited understanding, is that it's about Jesus, so, or some version of some Bible story. And this isn't the first, you know, to your point, that's like a multiple season event. Maybe, is this the future of cinema, Grace? Like, let's release limited series or parts of seasons? Like, what?
I don't think it's a bad idea. I mean, I was talking about how The Curse was playing in some theaters every Sunday.
That's
they
right.
would play some episodes before the Friday release. I don't think it's the worst thing. You know, the idea of like eventizing movie theaters isn't the streaming services are also looking to like eventize things. You know, they're all looking for sports, and Netflix just bought wrestling, and so TV in the movie theaters, who knows?
We could be watching True Detective on the big screen. Oh my god, what is that? Oh, it's snow.
Be too scary, I think.
It'd be really the scarier things would be scary.
Yeah. All right, well, Argyle, we're going to recap it. Make sure you subscribe, pushrecaps.com/movies to get all of our movie coverage. Ariel, this, you know, I saw a lot of trailers for this movie, basically the same trailer a million times. There's a lot of hype about not being spoiled on Argyle and who basically Argyle is. And this was a thing about the movie going into it. And then people did get spoiled and I didn't get spoiled. But a big sort of epic spy action comedy with a huge cast, including Bryce Dallas Howard, Sam Rockwell, Bryan Cranston, Catherine O'Hara, Henry Cavill, John Cena. Didn't even see him in the movie. You can't see him. Samuel Jackson, Ariana DeBose, Dua Lipa. What'd you make of Argyle, Ariel?
Seen it. Yeah, it's Bryce Dallas Howard. It is not Jessica Chastain. It's so fascinating, just the staying a little bit on the point of the kind of internet life of the movie.
Yeah.
And like, I just heard like half an hour before recording that like some people thought Taylor Swift was Argyle, or like her cat, because she has like a similar cat.
She has the same cat. Yeah.
I'm speaking from like third, fourth hand accounts at this point.
Yeah.
That's very something. I don't know what to call that, but that's something. And then also, this is such a dumb thing, but I didn't want to forget to say it. So I'm going to say it here at the beginning. There's something that happens sometimes in marketing where like they second guess, like, oh God, maybe we're getting reports that the movie isn't going to do well. So we have to adjust something in the way we're marketing it. Right. Uh-huh. And I kept noticing, because to your point, I kept seeing the trailers everywhere, whether it was on TV and unfortunately also in movies, and at least you can escape to the bathroom like I do. But on TV, the voiceover that sounded very much like Helen Mirren, but I'm not sure that it was Helen Mirren. She was saying, you know how the voiceover at the end, they put the graphics on the screen of the movie title and then they say the movie title.
Yes.
But she was saying Agent Argyle, like at the very end. And at first I was like, wait, is that like a thing where they're talking about the Agent Argyle? No, like it seemed to me, it reeked of, in my very humble estimation, that they were like, people are seeing Argyle and they're not sure just based on that name what it's about. So let's, even though it's too late to change the graphic, let's say Agent Argyle, because VO is a lot easier to like switch last minute. Say Agent Argyle. And it kind of like feeds into the movie in a way of like trying to like trick us into thinking or forgetting a thing. It's so weird. So seemingly the reason I bring it up is because seemingly they were not surprised by the box office. Perhaps certainly weren't hoping for that. I wasn't sure what to expect walking into the movie. I knew one of the funniest tweets I had seen about it was like somebody wrote like, oh, Argyle is over 2 hours long. And somebody just responded, no, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just so weird. Yeah. That's how I felt. And then I was like, oh no, now I have to go see this movie. I will say I was expecting, to be completely, completely honest, I was expecting absolute trash. I was expecting like no redeemable, you know, aspects to the movie at all. And obviously we always say this, although I don't think I said about the Mean Girls movie, unfortunately, like people don't set out to make something that isn't good, right? They're setting out to make something good that they're hoping people will enjoy.
Yeah.
And I was expecting the complete opposite of that. And I was pleasantly surprised in some small ways, some expected, some unexpected. I think having such a large cast gives you a little bit of a variety that you're looking for in like a huge 2-hour movie.
Very good cast too.
Certainly too long. Yes. It's not just big names. It's a lot of like good performers and people who are buying into this absolutely ridiculous bonkers world and story. That's kind of hard to follow. But I enjoyed it more than I thought I would, even though it has clear, like bizarre leaps in logic and story format. I would be really interested to talk about it once we get into the spoiler section, because there are a lot of questions I have.
Yeah, I think that for me, this is a movie that I also didn't dislike as much as I thought I would dislike, or perhaps I thought I would dislike it for different reasons and I maybe didn't love the movie. This is a Matthew Vaughn movie who's known, kind of became famous for, I think Kick-Ass was his sort of breakout, but then directing, I think, wrote two of the X-Men reboots, like in 2011 and 2014. And then he did the Kingsman's movies, which we have talked about at least one of those.
Yeah, we talked about the third one.
Which is
a great war.
The Kingsman, as opposed to Kingsman, which are the other ones. And I do feel like I like the idea of those movies, and then the execution like falls short for me. They're sort of like glossy and pop culture-y in a way that I'm not always looking for in my movies. And I feel like the thing I walked out of Argyle feeling is that it kind of knew what it was doing in terms of being a comedy. Like I felt like they were pretty much in on the jokes that they were making and knew how over the top they were being. And then I also felt like though that like that still didn't work for me. Like this wasn't a movie for me, if that makes sense. I think is like my critique of the movie is that it's better than I expected, because it was absolutely being tongue-in-cheek in terms of like satiring this type of thing, and then also I was like, yeah, but it's still not really fully vibing with the type of movie I want to watch. So that's sort of my Argyle recap. I think, I don't know, this is one you could definitely just wait for streaming. There are some interesting
hurry up and wait to watch this movie.
run to your couch and wait for it to
and distract yourself for, I don't know, 3 months. Yeah. However long it takes this movie to be released.
Well, it might be shorter.
It might be shorter. Yeah, these days it gets shorter and shorter.
Who knows? It's an Apple original film too, so it's going to come to probably Apple TV. It doesn't really feel like an Apple movie, but that's, you know, whatever.
No.
Well, then let me spill the PSRT about this movie, which is basically the premise being that Bryce Dallas Howard is Ellie Conway, who has written successful spy novels, but she quickly gets wrapped up in the fact that potentially everything she's writing is actually happening. She has these two lovely parents who very quickly are revealed to also be bad people, who maybe traumatized her after a figure skating accident, where it turns out that she is not Ellie Conway. She is, in fact, Agent Rachel Kyle, Agent R. Kyle. And basically she had like amnesia, and basically her writing has basically unlocked all of the missions that she went on before, all the way up until she had her accident. And these evil parents of her, Brian Cranston, Catherine O'Hara, were basically trying to get information out of her. Big action sequences. She's sort of along the ride with her version of John Cena, who is Aiden, played by Sam Rockwell. And yeah, there's a big ship battle at the end where there is both a figure skating scene on oil and a like colorful smoke gas sequence, dance
choreography
sequence.
yeah
pretty wild. And basically it all, they do it, they save the world basically, and then blow up the ship and get away with, I don't even know the thing that they're looking, some code that proves that the district, or whatever the thing, the division that they're bad and have done all these crimes, basically.
Yeah, we're looking for files, a piece of proof of this thing, so that we can send it to Samuel L. Jackson.
And she turns out that she had been working undercover for them, and maybe was doing it, but then because of everything that happened, has a change of heart and betrays them again. And then there's a standoff and a fight. And
I honestly had forgotten about that twist. There's so many twists that I had forgotten about one of the final twists of, she was actually a double agent for the evil people, but now she is become aware and is a triple agent, really just a single agent for it's. Crazy.
Can you tell me your favorite twist in the movie? I'll tell you mine. Mine was when Catherine O'Hara turns out to be British. It's my favorite twist of the movie.
It's just like they knew exactly what they were doing. Catherine O'Hara playing a mom, like, you've got me. I'm all in already. And then to have it be a heel turn, and she's not just not her mom, but she's evil, and now she's a
British
evil
scientist. Yeah.
And British, and like, yeah. I kept being like, wait, is this a different person? And she's just imagining Catherine O'Hara. There's so many times where I don't even know what to call her. Kelly R. Kyle. Gee, sorry. No, I'm not going to say that.
Ellie Conway, I think. We'll call her Ellie Conway.
Yes, that's her name. Is seeing, what's his name? Henry Cavill instead of Sam. I keep saying Sam Worthington. His name is Sam
Rockwell.
Roberts Rockwell. When I tell you that every day since I've seen this movie, I think, oh, Sam Rockwell. And this is the first time I'm saying it correctly. She's like, right. She's seeing a version of what she wrote in the books as now happening in real life. And she has cast, what's his name, Henry Cavill, in this role. There's so many layers to this, and it's like, honestly, like, nonsensical at a certain point. But to answer your question, my favorite twist. my favorite twist is... No, that's a good
one. Is it
the
twist and shout when they... Is that what he teaches her how to stop people?
It's my favorite twist was, and this is kind of cheating because it's not really a twist, it's like a thing that we find out, is that like they were in love, Sam Rockwell and Bryce Dallas Howard's character, Ellie Conway. Like, they didn't just know each other, but he has been pretending to not know her, to be kind to her, and like her amnesia or whatever. I think far and away for me, Sam Rockwell is the reason that this movie has like any hint of heart and soul. He is so, and actually, to the movie's credit, it makes sense once you find out that he's in love with her, because there is so much charm and like kindness, and just like the way he treats her is is very specific. And like, I was so charmed by him. We've seen him do a million different things. I feel like I haven't really seen him in anything recently that I can remember. And this was such a lovely little, it's not really little, but a moment for him, especially because he shows up and, you know, speaking of Jesus, he shows up looking like Jesus with all the hair and the beard. Mm-hmm. And then he has like his mini glow up where he's like, oh, I'm just in a t-shirt and I shaved. And I was like, oh my gosh, Sam Rockwell. You go, Glenn Coco.
I'm a huge Sam Rockwell fan. I 2009, I was is like a year where I was my last like movie renaissance of like just trying to like watch as many. And Moon, if you've never seen Moon, is an exceptional movie that basically just stars Sam Rockwell. It's very, very good. Sam Rockwell's had a bit of a weird last few years. Like I think last year, in 2020 and 2022, he's like basically only did voice work, which maybe he was being very COVID conscious, but he did like, he's in Trolls World Tour, The Bad Guys. Before that, he's in Jojo Rabbit. He plays one of the Nazis, and he's in Richard Jewell, that like the movie with our fave.
Well, we love him, Paul Walter Hauser.
Yeah, and he was in Vice. He played George W. Bush. So I love Sam Rockwell. I totally agree. I think he's exceptional in this movie. I feel like he's really holding it together. The piece, you know, I joke about the twist. I do think for the most part, the movie is very contrived. But also, I think to its credit, it does at least do a semi-good job of making every twist make sense, even if you need like a huge leap in logic about like them.
If you need a few minutes to like sit with it and then like finally understand it,
like the twist of Bryan Cranston and Catherine O'Hara. Oh, watch this era. When Bryan Cranston breaks bad,
got him.
When you find out that he's like, you already know he's the head of the division, and then he shows up as her mom or her dad, and then they're there, and then. Ultimately, they do. And then, like, when Sam Rockwell shows up and then shoots Catherine O'Hara and, like, knocks out Bryan Cranston and leaves. At that point in the movie, you're like, oh, it's as stupid as I thought it was going to be. That, like, she didn't know her parents are, like, spies and, like, that her parents, like, don't care for her. But then slowly, they, like, they do explain that she, you know, the figure skating accident, whatever, like her, you know, she has it, like it's silly, but at least they like, I feel like have a passable like explanation that these are not actually her parents, that her, they've like brainwashed her. And like, even the moment at the end, like I do think the oil skating scene is like so ridiculous, but the movie knows exactly that, like it knows that it's ridiculous, right?
Yes.
And so,
yes, for sure.
You know, she's like, oh, the figure skating, was that like, it's like, no, like that part of that was like, is based on truth. And you're a very good figure skater. And then she like, you know, skates on the ice and shoots and kills everybody. So it's like, it is ridiculous and silly in a way that if it was only ever playing it as a comedy would also not work for me. So it doesn't really work, even though it's like, but I give it some credit. And maybe to Jason Fuchs, who wrote the screenplay, in that, it's not quite as bad because I think the whole time the movie knows that it's like, this is very silly and ridiculous, but it's doing that. And I feel like this is a movie that, like, no offense, my dad is going to watch and really, and really like. I have a neighbor who's quite a bit older than me and kept being like, cause I'll come home. Sometimes I'll see him and he's walking his dog when I get home from like a movie. And I watched like the Four Daughters documentary, The Zone of Interest and The Settlers. And so I just had like 6 hours of like the most depressing movie. And he's like, you seen Argyle yet? And I'm like, I did see it. So like, no offense, but like, you know, it's just like, I feel like it's kind of a, you know, the way The Kingsman, I feel like, is for like older people too, I think, to a degree. I feel like this, I don't know, but people seem to really be enjoying this movie, Ariel. So
I would say Kingsman is more successful in doing what it's supposed to be doing, certainly maybe more slightly more male skewing as far as like interest level, but
I do think once this movie gets into the world where like Ellie is also a spy, I think it works more than when she's not a spy, right? I think I don't know if you agree.
Yeah, no, I think what's interesting, it's hard to like really place myself in the moment, but I did keep, what I can say for sure is that as they are, let's say there's like point A and point B, to keep it simple, B being like the twist at the very end, or, you know, whatever the full spectrum of twists that we have now been on this like list of twists along the way. I was kind of like, oh, that's interesting, but does it make sense? Oh, that's interesting, but does it make sense? Like the thing about
what'd you make of Ariana DeBose getting shot in the heart?
I have something to say about Ariana DeBose that I am saving because I think she deserves her own moment.
Okay.
But I have opinions and I am concerned.
What I thought was when she came in and she said, I can't even remember the meme. Somebody did the thing. Dang it. Can't remember. Anyway, moving on. Angela Bassett did the thing. And I was like, oh, that's so weird that she made this line in that movie.
Yes, I remember now what I was saying. The twist. Sorry. No, you're fine. The like along the way, they kept losing me a little bit, but then to the movie's credit, they kept getting me back.
Yeah, I agree. God,
this is actually so much more complicated than I would have given the movie credit for.
Yeah.
And it just kept going. I was like, wait, am I crazy or is this kind of interesting? Even though, to your point, there are leads in logic and there are some things that kind of don't make sense. Like when Bryan Cranston first shows up, you're like, I was thinking, is she just like thinking that this is her dad and he's playing a role, or like how long have they actually known each other? Is he wearing a mask? Like, is there some kind of weird psychotropic of, but no, it's just literally she had been brainwashed kind of recently and that's why she thinks so. Like, the movie in some ways isn't as complicated as it's setting itself up to be along the way, while simultaneously keeping you, I would argue, keeping you just confused and simultaneously sure enough that you're like kind of sitting forward in your seat a little bit and you're like, wait, what's happening? And you're kind of maybe making emotional room for all those beats of the movie that maybe you wouldn't be had the logic just kind of been simple or nonsensical. I mean, it is a little bit nonsensical, but you know what I'm saying?
No, I think that's exactly right. I think the movie, and again, it's where I think what I thought I wouldn't like about this movie is not what I ended up not liking. Like, I think if like the movie tried to make us think that like she thought that those were her parents her whole life, and then they're suddenly not, like what, like I thought I was gonna give it more like flack for not explaining stuff, and I feel like it tries to like patch over every loophole that I thought was in the movie, and even if I'm like, yeah, the plaster's a little like, it's not, you didn't paint over it, but like,
it's transparent.
You know, it's an explanation, you know, like her cat being named Alfie, which she subconsciously does because Alfred Solomon is played by Samuel Jackson, is like the head of the CIA, and that was her boss and who she trained under. And you're like, that's cute. That's fun. You know, cute. Okay, fine. You know, it works. Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
At some point, Alfie really just totally pretty much disappears. from
Point about like things that I was worried about. I was so worried that Alfie was going to be completely overutilized and overexposed. And it's already like for the most part a CGI cat. And I'm like, oh God, this is so annoying. And like the trailer is making me so worried about that part in particular. And then he just like, isn't in the movie that much. And I was like, that's cool. I kind of respect that.
Yeah. Yeah. Alfie is not really in the movie basically once the big scene happens. I think there's like a moment where she's like, you could go get back and get the cat or you'll die. And she's like, okay, I won't go back and get the cat.
That was actually real. That was so interesting because I was like, as a former pet owner and like just a dog person in general, I put myself in that position. Like, would I, if it actually came down to it, and again, this is an example of like the movie achieving a level of like emotional complexity that I didn't think was possible. Like, would I actually do, like, if my life was genuinely, genuinely in danger, would I go back and risk my life for my dog, who I so clearly love most of all? Like, it was actually fascinating to watch her make that choice because it really felt like it could go either way. And I think that's the movie's credit setting up her character thus far. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into it and I'm a pet person, so it got to me. But
how does she get the cat back later? How does she get the cat?
Someone gives it to her. Someone's like, oh, I have your, maybe it's what's his name? Breaking Bad guy, Bryan Cranston, I think. Someone's just like, oh, we have your cat. And then now they're trying to use it as like a way to, you know, like reason with her or, you know, blackmail her or whatever.
Okay. Well, sure. All right.
Cause he kind of just pops up again. Yeah. I have the vague memory of the bag being lifted. Like the cat. I also thought the cat's name was Argyle, but clearly whatever. That would have been too confusing, I guess. Cause she can't be R Kelly. Jesus. I'm sorry. I keep saying
R Kelly.
I apologize. R Kyle, Rachel Kyle, Argyle. Anyway, whatever.
What do you make of, you know, Henry Cavill is like fully, like center on the poster of this movie in all of the advertising for the movie. And then he's like kind of not in the movie. He is in the movie, but he's very much not. He's basically in the first like 25 minutes.
Yeah. And then he's popping up throughout like very, very, very short scenes, like seconds long when her perspective is kind of changing. He's playing like I can't remember now, shame on me, the name of the bullet head, maybe is his name? The Spider-Man character that has like the very boxy haircut. And he's like silver. And I was like, this guy is a cartoon character.
When they give Sam Rockwell that haircut, I'm like, please, no. Somehow it only works for Henry Cavill. And even
No. Thankfully, that didn't last. But it is interesting, yeah, because like in the very beginning of the trailer that I saw a million times, it's Dua Lipa and it's Henry Cavill, and you're like, maybe they'll be in the movie more. Certainly, Henry Cavill seems like he would be in the movie more, and it's kind of a misdirect, but in a way that, again, makes me happy because it leaves more room for Sam Rockwell, who I love. But I was surprised, again, to your point, of like, oh, that's all the Henry Cavill we get? Oh, I guess he was too busy filming that final scene for Black Adam.
The one piece of the writing that I think is like not super strong, but I don't know how you like fix it, is the fact that she keeps seeing Sam Rockwell, like Aiden, as Argyle.
Yes.
But then she's Argyle and that he's actually like John Cena's character. Wyatt, I think is his name.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, because she I'm not going to repeat what you just said. I was about to say, she's seeing so-and-so. It is really interesting. Like, John Cena, I think we get the least of all the people that we...
Dua Lipa probably gets the least of anybody who's, like, I think people were legitimately excited for Dua Lipa to be in this movie, and then it's, like, not really in this movie.
She got to do the... The Whirly Bird. Yeah.
She shot. Oh, true.
A joke true. When they were like, I guess the Whirly Bird doesn't get the worm. I was
and
like,
she did shoot Ariana DeBose right through the heart. Uh-huh. Boo.
Okay, this is where I'm going to just stand on my soapbox for a second. And like, I think we need to check on Ariana DeBose. And like, I say this like obviously joking, but like, I'm so worried for her. She was like riding such a high. I refuse to believe that this is all still from the damn Angela Bassett thing. I love you, Angela Bassett. You have nothing to do with what's happening. But like between
you said the
ISS, and I'm like, Ariana, come on. Like, you're so, you can be getting like wasn't really she great in, roles.
Wasn't she in Wish too? Isn't she the lead actress?
Oh, God, yes, she's the lead. And then, like, yeah, even that feels like an unforced error. Like, some of these other roles, you could argue, you know, you should have known better. Your representation should have known better.
Her next movie. Do you know what it is? It's big.
Oh, God, don't tell me. Is it Mission Impossible?
It's Kraven the Hunter.
Whatever. At least male Anya Taylor-Joy is in it, and I like him. What's his name? Aaron Taylor-Johnson. Aaron
Johnson, yeah.
I just want to say, and again, I'm being somewhat facetious, but I just, like, I love her, and I want her to be doing great things that she's getting respect for. And I don't know, like, did she waste all of her juice on West Side Story? I don't think that's true, but I'm just worried. I want other people to be worried with me because I'm worried.
Yeah, tough. Yeah, that's the last three things she did, which is, what was I looking at? Doesn't matter. Wish, ISS, and now Argyle. Yeah.
Justice for her. At least Angela Bassett wasn't in this movie. She was spared.
Yeah, the thing of, like, the twist at the end where she shows up and she's like, who do you think the fan was that wrote it? I was like, yeah, okay. Yeah,
right. I totally forgot about that. That was incredible. Like, yeah, it was so stupid. But, like, at that point, the movie has had so many twists that you're like, all right, cool. I guess thanks for not leaving the one random thing that I would have never remembered as a hanging thread. Like, you literally answered every single question, however nonsensical. And she just comes back at the end, and she's one of the few people that we see at the beginning of the movie that isn't being played by, like, a false person. It's really just her. So good for her, I guess. She recovered. And they found the, what do they call it? They've called it the Heidi hole, whatever. For the, like, there's a very, like, yeah, small window literally in your body of, like, if, I don't know if this is true, of, like, if you get shot from a very specific angle in a very specific way with a certain size gun, it will just pass through you and you will not die. So good for her.
Yep. That's the explanation. But again, the movie, like, the movie knows it's, like, it's stupid, right? Like, they're not writing it to be like, and that's real true science, you know?
No,
like,
for sure, you know, for sure. Yeah.
They're trying to be, like, tongue in cheek at the end. So, yes, you know, whatever. One thing I guess I missed this. I'm looking at this now, but they I know that Cavill said a sequel depends on how the audiences react to the film or something.
Welcome to the universe, Henry.
Yeah, and I think this movie has probably lost too much money to think that we're getting another Argyle movie. It could have, like, a weird second run on Apple, like when it drops on streaming. Maybe it's like, you know, people are tweeting about it or whatever, and it happens. But at the end of the movie, there's, like, a post-credit scene that basically is like, Argyle will be back or whatever. It says, like,
I was going to say, okay, yeah, is this where we talk about the post-credit scene? Because in a movie that, again, a movie that was full of twists, at this point now my brain is broken. Like, I lack, like, a capacity to ingest more information that is now affecting other movie universes that I'm only passably familiar with, in this case the Kingsman universe. We see this random person go to a bar called the Kingsman with the Kingsman symbol from the Kingsman movies and orders a thing and then gets a gun, and he says his name is Andrew Argyle. I'm getting the first name wrong. So-and-so Argyle.
Yeah.
And we met
Aubrey Argyle.
Aubrey Argyle. We met at the very end of the movie. And this was one of the few things that I was like, okay, I don't understand why this is important or why what you're trying to say here. We met, like, the nerdy version of Henry Cavill. It's just Henry Cavill, like, at her book signing. And I'm like, wait, so are you telling me that he just happens to be a real person, or is this, like, an agent? And ultimately it doesn't matter, thankfully, but that happened. So then you give us this young version of whoever Argyle is, and it's not her, in this Kingsman universe. So my two questions are, is this supposed to be a young version of Henry Cavill's character? And my other question was going to be, is this supposed to be in the Kingsman universe? And I think what's his name? Matthew Vaughn has been, like, very coy, certainly in the lead up to the movie, being like, oh, you know, all things are possible, blah, blah, blah. But, like, this is, And this is all now in the within the like under the umbrella of the conversation of would there be a sequel? There was some language, I don't remember exactly, but like Argyle book one coming soon. I was like, well, what is this? Is this a movie based on this fictional book that she wrote? Is this like these real characters, Henry Cavill? Like, what is going on? I genuinely love a fun post credits, but like, I'm not sure what my takeaway is supposed to be from this.
So when I first watched it, I absolutely just thought the movie that they're going to do next is like, it will be based on her first book, which is then based on her life, but her as a man. Right, like her as Aubrey Argyle, and it'll be like and a young Wyatt or whatever, and that's what we'll get, I think. Then I see that there is like people are saying that the man is like a Kingsman agent. They're saying like so it is supposedly connected in some way.
He's the king.
I guess he's the king's man. More like King's boy, I guess. Could it be like her dad? Like, is Aubrey Argyle her dad? I think because they say first book, I think it's supposed to be like what they were teasing was they could also just release like the Argyle book, right? They could. Unfortunately, one of the rumors I had heard is that I think Matthew Vaughn and J.K. Rowling had joked about this idea at some point, and so then he went and wrote it, and that. It might be like a J.K. So if there's a book that's coming, it could be written by J.K. Rowling, which people should not buy if that's the case.
It's weird to me because now I'm thinking, is there a world in which, and this would be like a big waste of a post-credit scene and you're sending the internet into a tizzy like unnecessarily, but like, is there a world in where this is like a fake? I hadn't thought of this till just now until I heard you talk. Like, this is a fake trailer for a movie that's never going to be made. Like, it's the in-universe fictionalization of the book that she wrote in the movie. It's crazy, like the fact that it could be so many things. Maybe that's what they want us to be wondering, but like, I think I'm more confused that they want me to be.
There's also two Kingsman movies in pre-production, and I say that there's a Kingsman movie, so Kingsman, one word, and there is a The Kingsman movie. There's two.
With a colon,
there's,
probably.
Okay, there is. One is Kingsman, The Blue Blood, Kingsman, colon, The Blue Blood, which is a sequel to both Kingsman, The Secret Service, and Kingsman, The Golden Circle. And then there is The Kingsman, colon, The Traitor King. That's two king in the title. A sequel to The Kingsman, which we watched in December of 2021. So those are both in pre-production, both written. They're both going to be directed by Matthew Vaughn. The story, both written, he co-wrote one of them. But yeah, they're both in pre-production.
I will just say, though, like having said everything I already said, the idea of a shared universe is on paper kind of always exciting to me in some way. Even if it's like, I hated that movie, but that's cool that they linked it to that other thing. There is genuinely interesting possibilities here. I worry based on the zaniness and frankly overall quality of this movie, like what the future of some shared universe would look like and feel like. I don't know. And there's also at some point they were making The Statesman, which is like the American Kingsman, and seemingly that has fallen by the wayside. Not that we need it, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, let's see about The Statesman. Is that
it's what's his name? It's John Cena Jr. He was in the Golden Circle movie. He's the dancer in Magic Mike. It's he has
Channing Tatum.
I'll think of it. Yes, he was. Am I remembering this wrong? He was the statesman in the Golden Circle movie.
He is in that movie. Yeah,
there you go.
That movie has a wildcat. Taron Egerton, Colin Firth, Mark Strong, Pedro Pascal, Julianne Moore, Halle Berry, Elton John, Channing Tatum, and Jeff Bridges.
Wow, maybe I need to see this movie.
The Golden Circle? You haven't seen The Golden Circle?
I haven't. The first one I saw was the one that we covered, just The King's Man.
The King's Man, as opposed to Kingsman.
As opposed to The Kingsman. Because the one that I saw that we covered was like the origin story for The Kingsman Service, which for whatever reason was just called The King's Man, without a colon.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So
I'm out of breath.
I mean, I'll probably watch again. I think this was seemingly like it just didn't make, I mean, there's really the thing right now is there's a lot of movies coming out that I'm excited for in the next little while. They are basically until Dune, though, everything is like I'm trying to get like all my Oscar nom movies watched. Like it's a lot of just like stuff that I think I'm excited for, and I tell other people about them and they're like, oh, I haven't heard. Like, I'm super
excited. I don't know what that is.
Like Perfect Days comes out this week, which is about like a Japanese cleaner nominated for Best International Picture. I'm very excited, but like I don't think most people are like, here we go, you know. Dune is the next thing that I think people are probably, and of apologies to Madam Web, I'm so sorry, so sorry to slander Madam Web like that.
Listen, I have a platonic Valentine's Day date with my friend to see Madam Web, and I can think of no better way to spend that ridiculous holiday with this ridiculous movie. I am unironically looking forward to the mess that I anticipate that movie will be. I can't stop thinking about her mom studying spiders in the jungle. It's such an incredible line read in the trailer. I feel like there's no way this movie disappoints. It only will disappoint if it's boring. If it's really bad or somehow amazing, like it's a win-win as far as
I know. You see that she was on the red carpet and she wore this like spider
web thing?
Yeah, okay, but the wording on these posts that were like, God, I feel so bad. This is Dakota Johnson, right? I need to find the tweet.
It's Dakota Johnson.
Where they're like, she's paying homage to us. It's like, no, she just looks like a spider. What are you talking about? she's just wearing a spider dress. It's just like, it'll be like she's I saw this these like tweets that were like, look at her, like referencing her, and I'm like, she's just wearing a
spider. And it hasn't even come out yet. Like, the idea, it actually is, it's all marketing. Like, the idea that like somehow it's in any way disconnected from the movie is laughable. It's so funny.
So funny. February is a really interesting movie because it's like, it's not like January was really bad, I think, for like a really bad month for movies. Like, I think in the few years that we've been doing this, probably the worst January we've had. I do feel like Lisa Frankenstein comes out. I know. Lisa Frankenstein comes out, I think, this Friday. And then we have Madam Web, Bob Marley, One Love, which, you know, we shall see. We're like, Dune is getting re-released in IMAX. We're like, you know, we're getting some momentum to then March 1st being Dune.
Juliette Binoche, I believe it's called The Taste of Things. I'm seeing that on Thursday.
Okay. Can I tell you, I was supposed to see that on Sunday and I had to give my ticket. It was for a secret movie club and I had to give my ticket away, and I went later and I found out it was The Taste of Things. I was so annoyed. But
oh no. I'll see you soon. TIFF?
Are you... Okay, I have to take a drink.
I thought you were, it looked like you were reaching for something. I thought you had a new TIFF bell.
I try to do sort of the Oscars gauntlet of watching everything that's been nominated. Mm-hmm. TIFF also does play, like, they're going to play all the shorts. So they're going to play documentary shorts live. So I think I'm actually in pretty good. I think this is the best year for me in terms of potentially being able to complete it. I couldn't complete it last year because of that stupid anthology that had a song nominated. This is gonna sound really bad, but it's the movie about women, and I can't remember what the name of it
Women
is,
Talking is over, but
no, it's called Tell It Like a Woman, and I couldn't see it like never got released anywhere. So I still haven't seen that film, but I'm pretty close. Other than I have 7 films that are not a short that I need to watch, and I need to watch pretty much all the shorts, so pretty good shape.
I have started to be more kind to myself, and I kind of I'm sorry. As soon as I was like, I was about to say it, I was like, this sounds bad. But I can. There's so much that I could be watching, and sometimes I decide to watch nothing. Anyway, I am usually happy these days. The last few years, to actually answer your question, I'm very happy with just having watched all the Best Picture nominees. And I know that's like so like low hanging fruit, whatever, but it makes me feel like anything else is extra. I'm big on extra credit these days across all aspects of my life, whether it's work or leisure or whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's like extra credit, something that I don't need to keep track of. And anything that I do counts, but like only for me. And I don't have to get stressed about it, because unfortunately, I get stressed about the dumbest things. So there you go.
Fair enough. But yeah, Perfect Days comes out, I believe, in a limited release on the February 7th. If you're able to see it, The Taste of Things also is a limited release on Friday, February 9th. Mm-hmm.
Movies that, to your point, no one's really like.
I know, but I'm very excited. It is not nominated, The Taste of Things. Perfect mm-hmm. Days is the Japanese film that's nominated for Best International Feature. The Taste of Things, very interestingly, was the choice to be nominated for the French movie over Anatomy of the Fall, which then Anatomy of a Fall did not get nominated for Best International Feature because it couldn't, but it is nominated in Best Picture. So very, very interesting. But
eat your heart out. Yeah. Other movies that aren't that.
If you haven't watched The Teacher's Lounge, I would highly recommend that as well. I think the Best International Feature lineup, I think, is very good. I haven't seen Perfect Days or Io Capitano, which is, I think, also releasing very soon. But Teacher's Lounge is very good. It's about this teacher who is kind of just doing her best to try to, like, look out for her students, and then kind of gets like cannibalized from both sides. Like her students kind of rebel against her, and the faculty rebel against her. And it's very good. It is a bit of a thriller. Ooh. With like low stakes. I would like a low stakes thriller, but it's very good. I liked it a
love,
lot.
Love a low stakes thriller.
And I love the lead. Try to pull up her name. I feel like she looks a lot like Vicky Kripes, who's in what was she in last year? She was in some stuff last year, but no, Liani Binesh is the lead in that movie. It's very good. It's very good.
Again.
Yeah, it's Scarlett Johansson.
Is that Scarlett Johansson playing Dakota Johnson?
Yeah. Anyway, all that to say, I feel like movies are starting. They're coming. They're coming back.
Dry January is over as far as movies.
For real, Ariel. For real. For real. All right. Well, I think that's our review of Argyle and many other things. But yeah.
Meow.
Yeah. 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 It that's the cat Argyle. That's Alfie. Yeah. 34% critic review on Rotten Tomatoes and 71% audience score. I do feel like that is interesting for Argyle.
Yeah, I do think this is one of those cases for sure when the disparity is that severe. It's like for sure somewhere in the middle, a little closer to this. I think 33 is a little severe, but I certainly don't think it's a B.
Well, good news, it's 34. So
see in the middle third of percentiles. That's pretty good.
That means the third of the critics who watched it thought it was at least good. That's how Rotten Tomatoes work. Wow. So yeah,
you should be so lucky to make a movie and have that happen.
It's funny, I feel like I like am trying to be so cautious. I gave it 2 stars, which is like, yeah, it's like a, 4 out of 10. Like it's not great, but
yeah.
Again, I just didn't think it was a movie for me, and I'm very happy if people like it, as opposed to I thought it was like actively really bad, I think. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, as opposed to Madam Web, which feels very for me.
That's right. It was made for you. All right, Ariel, in the meantime, what else you got going on? Where can people find you?
You can find me at the movies, probably, most likely, especially as February gets underway. As you said, I'm covering 6 Feet Under on our network with Dr. Amanda. That's been super fun. We're almost halfway through season 2, revisiting that show, and also covering Masters of the Air with DM Philly. That's been pretty fun. But selfishly, I loved talking about Band of Brothers. So that was great. We did a lead up pod to the actual coverage of this show. And I'm on Twitter sometimes at that other Ariel. What about you, Grace?
True Detective coverage in full swing. Amanda and I do the recap, and then Jess and I do the deep dive. This week, because of the Super Bowl, they're actually releasing episode 5 on Max on Friday. So Amanda and I will be...
Thank you, Super Bowl!
Yeah, we'll be getting together early to do the recap, probably our normal time for the deep dive. But check that out, and make sure you watch it, because you might get spoiled if you don't watch it on Friday. Friday evening, 9 p.m. is when it airs on Max, and will still air on HBO regularly Sunday at 9 p.m. Full spoiler recaps. Jess and I got together this week to talk about Scavenger's Reign, the Max.
Was it as good as people say?
I thought it was really good. And the more we talked about it, the more I liked it. I thought it was like, I think like we were talking before the pod about the Zone of Interest, and you said that like you kind of felt like you got to it. Later. And I feel like the same thing happened to me with Scavenger, where I was like, people were like saying transcendent, and I was like, I thought it was very good, but then like the hype, you know, it's tough. But then the more we talked about it, the more I was like, oh, there's some stuff in here that I didn't even realize I was like thinking about and doing. So I liked it more as we talked about it. So check that
out. Great.
Yeah. And then that's it. I'm on social media at High From Grace. We'll be back next week chatting about more movies. Until then, I'm Grace. That's Ariel. And we are Future Heroes.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2.
We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.